Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew and the 23rd Psalm. Out of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22, we read this story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And then out of the 23rd Psalm, a few verses from that, beginning at verse 1, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, it all took place on Lake Galilee, also known as the Sea of Galilee. It's a freshwater lake or sea that is only 13 miles long and 7.5 miles across at its widest point, small as far as seas and lakes go. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5 through 7, is believed to have been shared from a hill on the lake's northwestern shore. It is Israel's largest source of fresh drinking water and has become a pilgrimage site for many Christians, and of course where Jesus walked on water, as we read a moment ago. The small size of the lake made it more vulnerable, and does to this day, to the winds off the surrounding mountains called Golan Heights. And so the lake had the potential, in bad weather, of becoming a bit of a blender. Storms would hit every couple of weeks and last for 2 to 3 days at a time. This is the place where the disciples and Peter found themselves after a long day they just had with Jesus, as he taught, as he healed, and then fed 5,000 men, plus all the women and children, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Really, that's what it said. As their boat made its way across the lake, Peter and his friends knew they were in trouble. It should have been a 60-minute cruise across, but it went on and on, lasting all night. It was dark, it was windy, and it was raining buckets. Lightning slashed through the black sky. They were in the middle of the sea, being tossed about by the winds and the waves. We've all been there, haven't we? Maybe not in a boat in the middle of a stormy sea, but in the middle of a career change, perhaps, tossed by uncertainty, in the middle of a relationship problem, tossed by guilt, in the middle of financial struggles, tossed by debt, or in the middle of failure, tossed around by the expectations of everyone else all around us. The disciples fought the storm for 9 cold, drenching hours. And at about 4 a.m., something strange happened. They spotted a ghost on the water coming their way. They were terrified. And you would be too. I would be. The storm was horrible. But now this, things are getting worse and worse, they must have thought. And then Peter recognized that it wasn't a ghost, but it was Jesus. None of them expected that, to see Jesus coming their way out in the middle of the stormy sea and walking on top of the water, and neither do we. He had been with them teaching and praying and feeding thousands. He had been with them while they watched him healing and answering questions from the religious leaders of the day designed simply to trap him. But there he was in the midst of the worst storm they had ever experienced. They didn't expect him there to come to them in that moment. But then, guys, if the truth be known, neither do we. And my question is, for you and for me, why not? Why not expect him to come in those moments? We expect him to come to us in the usual moments, the expected moments, the quieter moments of our lives, but not like this, not in the worst of times, not in the storms of life. Really? Why not? We see him, feel his presence as he comes to us in the peaceful hymns we sing in churches, on Easter Sundays and sunrise services, and quiet retreats, studying and praying together with others to him. We expect to find him, don't we, in our morning devotionals, our times together, gathered in His name, and church worship and family times, times of thanksgiving and other gatherings. But what about in the storms? What about when things turn against us? What about when people turn away and criticize or condemn us? Do we look to find Him then? Do we look for Him when we are fired or during a long losing streak or in the horrors of war or a disaster? What about in a hurricane or two or three or in the midst of a bad economy or a personal struggle? Do we expect to see Him in any of those storms? Do you even look? Be honest. Well, neither did the disciples. A lot of times, but especially during that night on the Sea of Galilee over 2,000 years ago, they didn't look. But why not? Why not look right away and then lean into Him? Because listen to me, guys. It's in the storms that we face and go through in life that He does His best work. For it's in the storms we go through that we have His keenest attention. We need help, and He knows it. And He always comes to us. Why? Because we're His, and He loves us. That's when He shows up. Jesus said in the passage we read, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." My friends, there is power in those words, peace in those words, and hope in those words. "I am here," He said. To awaken after surgery and hear a loved one say, "I am here." To come home after a difficult day and be greeted the usual way with a, "I love you." To have someone come in a time of need and say, "Let me help. I want to help." That's Him. That's Him. No matter what always happens, He is there. A few years ago, my older granddaughter Hannah and I were in the garage at our house cleaning the windows on her Mimi's car. Actually, I was cleaning the windows, and she was simply encouraging me on. But after a while, she wandered out toward the woods that bordered our property. The garage door was open, so I could see her every step from where I was inside the garage as she crossed the driveway to the edge of the grass, about 25 feet away, bordering the woods, which ran the length of our side yard. So as I was cleaning, I was watching her, what she was doing and where she was. But just as I had finished cleaning the windows of the car, I saw her begin to cry. Then the sounds from her sobbing quickly followed. I leapt from my spot on the footstool, ran over to her. I quickly determined as I approached that nothing had seemed to hurt her, which might have caused what was now a steady sobbing of concern. I didn't see any snakes or bees, and she hadn't gotten into any ant bed, it seemed. Everything seemed okay in that regard. "What's the matter, sweetie?" I asked as I held her in my arms and wiped the tears from her cheeks. "Granddaddy," she choked out through tears falling heavily down her soft cheeks. "You left me." "But precious, I didn't," I reassured her. "I was here all the while." And I was. Those words, "I was here all the while." And Jesus' words to the disciples in the storm, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And those of David in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." All those are really only a reminder for us of what God always knows. And we too often forget that in the midst of this life of ours and all the streets and the side streets, the hurdles and the storms we face, He is there. God hasn't gone anywhere. And even more, when we drift away, and we do, wherever we are, whatever we're in the middle of, He sees us and He comes to us, like He did with the disciples in the boat or in the worst of storms and moments of our life. He comes to us and is there to walk with us in whatever we're going through. We cannot go anywhere where God is not present with us, nowhere. We can't hide any place. God will always see us and come to us. He comes to us and is alongside us, behind us, above us, and in front of us, wherever we are. So where do we find Him? Where do we find Him? In the quiet moments of life, in times of worship and in prayer, in times of fellowship with others in His name? Absolutely. But we also will always find Him when life doesn't seem to be going so well or smoothly. and the storms, the difficulties, and the uncertainties of life. In the worst of storms and heart-wrenching difficulties of life, He comes to us. When we feel lost and all alone or not sure we can take another step, He comes to us. And when we feel like we've been left alone on a grassy strip or abandoned and no one seems to care, He comes. He cares. And He comes to us. Wherever. Always. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You for my dear friends. I ask Your blessing on them. Thank You for all that they've done to this point in their life, recognizing that it was good those days. It was better those days when You were with them. So I ask that You would help us to remember that You always are there, that You are there when things are going great and You are there when things aren't going so great. Help us to remember that and help us in those moments, the ups and downs, to lean into You, to look to You, to follow You, to be all that You created us to be, with You and for You. It's in Your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.